A controversial red card for Funso Ochoa was the talking point in our match against Dundee United on Saturday. An unexplained decision from ref Bobby Madden saw Ochoa sent off after a Dundee United supporter pushed him as his momentum carried him off the pitch and onto the trackside. No word from the SFA on the reffing decision, but the police did have their say, with the supporter being charged and due to appear in court. More from the match coming up, plus the Aberdeen women were in action against Celtic on Sunday, and we have more on the Aberdeen annual report. Plus, the latest Dons and supporters news on the AFC Donscast on Tuesday, the 23rd of November.
People across Scotland have been getting the COVID-19 vaccine, and now a vaccine booster is being rolled out, starting with those most at risk. It's been through the same safety checks as any other vaccine, and it offers longer lasting protection against the virus. Extra protection for more people this winter, and extra protection for Scotland's NHS. So it's time to roll up our sleeves again. Check if you're eligible and how to book an appointment at nhsinform.scot.
Hello and welcome to the AFC Donscast. I'm back, it's Graham here with your weekly Dons News update. Aside from the main talking points, there was little to discuss in our game against Dundee United until late in the first half. Callum Butcher got involved in a confrontation between teammate Ryan Edwards and Christian Ramirez, with Butcher hitting Ramirez where it hurts in straight view of Bobby Madden, who brandished his red card without question. That decision was clear, the next wasn't, and God knows what Madden was thinking. Ochoa was pushed by a United fan after his momentum took him behind the goal, where United supporter reached over the barrier to shove him in the chest. Rightly incensed, Ochoa went to challenge the supporter, pulled back from the situation, but was then shown a second yellow, then red. The referee and his resistance should have protected the player from the aggression he faced and not punish him, let alone send him off. Then Stephen Glass was sent off at half-time for his complaints over Ochoa's dismissal, Glass saying, "The referee told me I was questioning his integrity, and with good reason." We had a few chances in the second half, Ramirez going closest with an effort that went wide of the far post. Our injury list continues to grow, with Jack McKenzie going off following his return from injury with an ankle problem at half-time, and Jack Kerr also went off after getting a knock. Ryan Hedges nearly put us in front, while Teddy Jenks was followed by Sigris Parry. But we went down 1-0 in the 80th minute through an Ian Harkes corner, with United grinding out the win in the final minutes of the game. The end outcome is that the United supporter has been charged by the police and is due in court, and Dundee United has cancelled a season ticket, presumably of the said supporter. But more questions need to be asked of the SFA and Bobby Madden about his decision-making, and Dundee United stewards and police for not removing the supporter from the stadium. The SFA have confirmed that the second yellow will not be overturned, as the rules stipulate that can only happen in cases of simulation or mistaken identity. That means Ochoa will miss Sunday's trip to Celtic Park.
Stephen, that's a really disappointing day. What's your take on it?
I think let ourselves down a little bit. I think we're in control of the game first half, more so when it went 10-11. And I think with Funso's red card, it evens things up and it makes it very even second half, and it's a bit of a battle. I still think we're in control, but we give the ball away really cheap on the halfway line, corner kick, which we then don't defend. And that happens in this type of atmosphere, in this type of game, you lose. And it's, again, you keep saying it's a learning curve, but it keeps happening, and it's there's a softness about a lot of individuals in there.
Yeah, it was a switch-off for the goal, certainly, wasn't it? And maybe a lack of spark as well, down at the other end, getting into great areas, but not quite doing enough, not forcing Sigrist into big enough saves.
Yeah, definitely, and even the saves he makes are at a height that he's very good at. I think Marley's one late on, if he hits it on the grass, it's got a better chance of going in. And we've worked on that every day of the week, last week and the week before, but it's disappointing, the quality at times at the top end, and the softness at the back.
Have you had an explanation of the second yellow for Funso?
I've not. I presume it's because he went back towards the incident where he gets pushed by a supporter. But I didn't ask Bobby about that. But I think he can be protected by the referee rather than given a second yellow card, I think.
Yeah, you would have thought protection of players was kind of paramount in that sort of situation.
I would have thought so, yeah.
But even allowing for the red cards, and did you get a red card as well in the tunnel?
Yeah, half time for questioning a couple of his decisions. So he decided I was questioning his integrity, which I never do, which you can't. But questioning his quality, but not his integrity.
Yeah, so you reckoned the approach was, I mean, you were speaking to him perfectly politely and just looking for a couple of answers, and he decided to red card you for that?
I don't want to say too much because I'll have to defend myself, I'm sure, but I was talking to another member of staff not to talk to him. And the thing I said to our member of staff, he'd take it as I was questioning his integrity, which I wasn't. But he was, well, yeah, that's it, that's fine.
Into the second half, 10 against 10, and is your feeling that that Aberdeen just didn't do enough to actually... It was a tight encounter. It wasn't a pretty game. You just wanted to get the goal and get out of here, and that's what they managed to do.
Yeah, pretty much. I think... I would say we had the bulk of the play, but I don't think we did enough to score the goal. We in general play, for me, we didn't do enough to lose a goal either. But again, Giveaway really cheap on the halfway line, really cheap, which is inexcusable. And then the defending of the corner kick's inexcusable as well. So those two incidents, Dundee United didn't do that, and we did, so they end up winning.
Defenders are dropping like flies. How's Jack McKenzie?
I hope he's okay. He's obviously sore enough to have to come off at half-time, which was a disappointment because we're obviously bare bones at the back anyway with Bates's illness. But hopefully he'll be back for next week. I think Jack's a bit of a warrior, so I think he'll be back next week as well because of the way that he is and even the way he managed to get himself out there today.
Any chance of getting anyone else back?
I don't think so, no. The injuries they've got, I don't think they'll be back for next weekend, which is unfortunate. But again, the group have shown a certain resilience in the week where we did pretty well, but they need to get back on board again pretty quick.
You did well at Ibrox, so you'll be looking for the same sort of performance at Celtic Park?
Yeah, you'd expect the same type of game. A team that believes they're going to win with a big, huge backing. But it's always good going there if you can put on a bit of a show, and that's the aim for next week, and that's what we'll work towards from tonight.
All the best. Thanks, Stephen.
Cheers, Rob. Thank you.
Joe, we'll start with just your overall thoughts on the game.
In between, in the middle of the pitch, all right, not bad. Some good stuff, good attacking, good attacks. But the final ball, not good enough. From both teams, there was nothing of note really to warrant a goal, apart from they put what is a poor delivery in from a free kick, from a corner, sorry. We just don't clear it and we don't stay with the man and he gets a free shot in the middle of our 18-yard box, which is the difference in the two teams. Paid well in a lot of aspects, but it doesn't matter what you do in terms of middle of the pitch and attacking. If you don't do the final bit either end, you lose the games, and that's what happened today.
We're obviously struggling missing central defenders and makeshift defence again today, but I thought they defended well, and as you say, it was just so frustrating to lose a goal like that.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at Dino's slotting in at centre half, doing the best he can in an alien position for him, and the back four for the second half was inexperienced and a bit makeshift, and we just did the best we can with the bodies that we've got, and they still don't create much. And we still concede from a set play, which is one scenario when you set up, you're ready, you shouldn't concede from that, especially when it's a poor delivery like it was. So that's the disappointment. We need to dust ourselves down. We've got a huge game on Sunday now, and we need to look towards what we had as an excellent week against Hibs, Rangers and Hearts, and look to what we did there and try and... try and get some more of that in our game, which I'm confident we will.
Just Joe, what was your thoughts on the Funso incident? I mean, it did appear to be extremely harshly treated.
I don't think Funso does much at all in retaliation to what is, you know, an aggressive shove on him. He turns around, he maybe squares up slightly, a completely natural reaction. He finds himself in the crowd through a natural part of the game. And you would hope that the referee would protect the players in that scenario. He's seen it differently. He's obviously seen Funso react and retaliate, and sees it as a yellow card. I suppose he's a lot closer than me, so maybe he's got a better look, but it looked incredibly harsh.
Of course, the fact it's two yellow cards, we can't appeal it as well, which is even more frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got, he's going to be suspended now, and we'll have to... Fergie's coming back from his suspension. We'll hopefully get a few boys back from injury, and we'll dust ourselves down and look to put in a strong performance and do the ugly stuff as well, which cost us today. And we need to make sure we nail that down for Sunday.
Thanks, Joe.
Cheers.
Aberdeen Women went 1-0 up late in the first half against Celtic Women at the Pennycar Stadium on Sunday through Bailey Hutchison, and having put in a battling display, it fell apart in the space of 10 minutes towards the end of the game, with Celtic scoring three goals in the 79th, 85th and 89th minute.
Catch live audio and video of our next match only on Red TV. Subscribe now for full match day coverage, replays, highlights and all the goals, exclusive interviews and behind the scenes content. Sign up now at redtv.afc.co.uk. The best of the action only on Red TV.
OK, let's look at the rest of the games from the weekend then. And Motherwell defeated Hearts 2-0 at Fir Park, and it was 1-1 between St Mirren and Livingston in Paisley. And an incredibly tight championship. The top five are separated by only 2 points after Arbroath won 1-0 at leaders Kilmarnock. Raith Rovers are second on goal difference thanks to a 2-1 win over Morton at Starks Park. While Partick Thistle beat Hamilton Accies 1-0 at Fir Hill. Dunfermline Athletic saw off Ayr United 3-0 at East End Park to jump from bottom to sixth place. Cove Rangers won 2-0 at Airdrie Onions to leapfrog the Diamonds at the top of League One. Montrose are in third spot after a 1-0 win away to Falkirk, while Queen's Park went down 2-1 at Peterhead. Dumbarton defeated Allo Athletic 2-1 at the Inderdrill Stadium, and Clyde were 3-1 winners against bottom club East Fife at Broadwood. Kelty Hearts remain 10 points clear in League 2 after a 2-0 home win over Stenhouse Muir, while second place Forfar Athletic beat bottom club Cowdenbeath 3-0 at Station Park. Edinburgh City hit back for a 2-1 victory over Stirling Albion at Forth Bank, and Stranraer beat Elgin City 1-0 at Stair Park, and an Athletic and Albion Rovers drew 1-0 at Gala Bank. There was Scottish League Cup semi-final action on Saturday and Sunday, and Celtic are thought to be through to the final on the 19th of December after beating holders St Johnstone 1-0 on Saturday evening. And Hibs beat Rangers 3-1 at Hampden on Sunday in the Cup competition to set up a final meeting with Celtic. That means our away fixture against Hibs, originally scheduled to take place on the 18th of December, will now be played on Wednesday the 22nd of December at 7:45pm.
Are you aged between 50 and 59? It's time to roll up your sleeve again. The COVID-19 vaccine booster is now available to you, providing extra protection against the virus. Book your COVID-19 vaccine booster now.
Aberdeen suffered a £5.19 million loss during what's been described as one of our toughest financial periods the club have faced. The club's annual accounts to the 30th of June show a decrease in turnover of £3.26 million from £14.33 million to £11.07 million and a £2.27 million rise in losses. Aberdeen decreased our wage bill from £9.77 million to £9.36 million, but point out that due to the decrease in turnover, the wages to turnover ratio increased from 68 to 85%. A combination of player sales, business interruption insurance, fans buying more season tickets than anticipated, staff taking a temporary cut in pay, an injection of new cash from investors, plus an interest-free loan from the Scottish Government allowed the club to avoid making any redundancies or major permanent cuts in expenditure. Dave Cormack has stressed that despite these unprecedented challenges, Aberdeen remain committed to its investment strategy in areas like the Youth Academy, training facilities and plans to build a new stadium. Aberdeen FC Women have signed goalkeeper Alaya J. Meach. The 18-year-old signed from Dundee United in SWPL2. AJ, who has represented Scotland at under-15, under-16, under-17 and under-19 level, earned the SWF Save of the Year award in 2019 and is thrilled to be starting an exciting new chapter in her career with Aberdeen.
Well, AJ, welcome to Aberdeen.
Thank you.
I believe you've had one training session already. How was your first night?
Really good, yeah. The girls were lovely. It was a good challenge as well. So, like, high standards and everything. Really good.
And the facilities as well, obviously. It'll be new to you as well. How did you find the new training facilities here?
Really nice, yeah. I played here one time before in SWPL2 when we played Aberdeen, but yeah, really good.
And how was the? Was it nervous coming in for the first night? I know you're stepping
up. Yeah, definitely. Well, I've been at Dundee United for 4 years, so coming into like a new team, new environment. I mean, I knew some of the girls, but it was still difficult.
You say you knew some of the girls already from your time in Scotland. Tell us a bit about your time playing for the Scotland. I know you've been in a few camps from 15s all the way through.
15s to 19s, yeah. Really good. Like, just travelling like with the best bunch of girls and coaches and everything was lovely.
And you know some of the players from Aberdeen as well that were on those trips?
Bailey Shore, yeah. Jenna Penman, Bailey Hutchison, yeah.
Of course, you would have played with Jenna as well down at
United. Yeah, at United, yeah.
And another few familiar faces as well with Gavin and Kenny, the goalkeeping coach up here. How much of a positive was it to come up knowing that they were here already?
Good, well, it probably helped me settle in quicker than probably I would if they were brand new, but yeah.
Adidas has signed a new 5-year deal to remain the official kit supplier to Aberdeen Football Club. The global sportswear brand will continue to exclusively produce and supply the professional kits for all the Dons football teams, including the first team, youth teams and AFC women, for a further 5 seasons up to and including 2025-26. This new agreement takes Adidas' long-term relationship with the club to 15 seasons, one of the longest-standing partnerships in Scottish football. The future of Mikey Devlin has been put on hold until the defender has battled back to fitness. Mikey hasn't featured for the Dons this season due to an ankle injury. He last played over a year ago as a sub in a 1-0 draw with St Mirren on the 5th of December. He was given a contract extension in the summer until this January. At this point, the club say contract talks will be held off until he makes a recovery. In other player news, Aberdeen are looking for an answer from Ryan Hedges as to whether his future lies at the club. Hedges is out of contract at the end of this season and the Dons have tabled a contract and there have been ongoing talks with the player and his agent. Stephen Glass is looking for clarity from Hedges, ideally before the January transfer windows open. On the night of the last podcast, the 16th of November, the under-18s lost 3-2 away to Hearts, Alfie Bavage scoring both the Dons goals in the 25th and 89th minute. It was a sucker-punch last-minute goal in the 90th minute from Hearts that saw them take the game. The under-18s were back in action against Hamilton last Friday, with Alfie on the score sheet again, scoring a last-minute goal, losing 2-1 at Cormac Park. STV have said they will seek to share the rights for the Scotland playoffs next year with Sky, and they are open to a discussion with the company to see if a deal can be struck. It comes after Scotland fans express anger at STV yet again playing England's games during the international break. And finally, police are appealing for information after a man was assaulted at Pittodrie Stadium during Aberdeen's match against Qarabag. The incident took place at around 9:10 in the evening during the second half of the Europa Conference League qualifier. A 26-year-old man sustained injuries to his face as a result of the incident on August 26th, but he did not require hospital treatment. Officers say the first man they wish to speak to is described as being in his 50s, tall with a slim build and short grey hair. The second man is described as being in his 40s, of average height and medium build, with short dark hair. Anyone with any information can contact Police Scotland on 101 or using the Contact Us form on the Police Scotland website. Anonymous reports can be made to the independent charity Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. Some supporters news now then, and AberDNA members can now upload their AberDNA membership card to their mobile phones. The NFC membership card will enable supporters to evidence their eligibility for discounts in the Pittodrie Club shop when purchasing tickets or with the club's partners through the Buy Official Appointment scheme. There's full details about the NFC membership card on the club's website. The third round fixtures for the Scottish Cup starts this Friday as Partick Thistle host Dunfermline in the first of the weekend's 20 ties. 18 matches will take place on Saturday at 3 p.m. before it concludes on Monday evening with Davos' trip to Brechin, which will be shown live on the BBC Scotland channel. Meanwhile, we're in action against Celtic this Sunday at Parkhead. Tickets for the match have gone on general sale and cost £33 for adults, £20 for over 65s, £20 for under 16s and £12 for under 13s. Tickets are reduced by £3 for restricted view seats. There'll be spot checks for COVID vaccine passports at this match. If you can take a printed copy of your certificate to speed things up at the turnstiles, that'll be great, but the digital version on the app will still be accepted. And if you can't make it to the game, there will be Red TV coverage on Red TV International, which starts at 2:45pm with Rob McLean. I'll be back with the AFC Dons cast next Tuesday following the Celtic match on Sunday. Between now and then, you can keep up to date with all the latest Dons and supporters news on the Inverness Reds website and on our social media. And you can hear your thoughts on the game at donstalk.co.uk. That's it for this week. Stand free.
That's all for this week. More Aberdeen news next Tuesday evening from 8.